You're listening to The Cannabis Hangout, two girls, one bowl, and a podcast that is breaking the stigma of marijuana. My name is Brannon.
And my name is Saba. We will be connecting with a community of cannabis enthusiasts by educating people,
sharing stories from medical marijuana patients,
and interviewing industry leaders while debunking cannabis myths.
So we invite you to come roll with us
while we break it all down.
Hi, friends. Thank you for joining us for another episode. I'm Brannon.
And I'm Saba.
And we are your hosts of the Cannabis Hangout. On today's show, we're chatting with our friend Emily, who's a creative in the media world. She helps brands get growth in many ways, and we're excited to chat with her today and just to get to know her on a deeper level as she shares her story and passions with us. So please welcome Emily with Busy Media to the Cannabis Hangout.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Emily.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here and taking time out of your day. So let's just go back to the very beginning and start from the basics. Do you remember the first time you ever consumed cannabis and what that experience was like for you?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad you asked this question. So it was me at basically my freshman year at OU, classic beginner stoner story.
Okay.
There was this frat boy, of course, that ended up selling me an eighth for $80.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. So I was
mad. Oh, my gosh.
So really, I got, like, scammed my first time buying weed.
Yeah, you already know he left that interaction and was like, I got the fuck out of this girl.
But when it's your first time, you're kind of just like, you don't know.
Yeah.
You're willing to pay whatever try have the experience.
I didn't know it was normal. And so that was the first, like, thing. But then, you know, it was us. We didn't know where to go smoke. We were, like, sketched out. It wasn't even legal yet at the time.
And yeah.
So we end up in, like, the most obvious, like, we're in the center of the well-lit, like, Fred Johnson, whatever the basketball, like, stadium.
That Fred Jones?
Fred Jones.
At OU?
Yeah.
So I think that's where you and I met, right? Or
is
was
that
it?
Where
you
met?
No, I think we... Okay, anyway, sorry, continue your story, and then we'll talk about that after.
So we parked in there, the only car, well-lit parking lot. I don't know why that... Like, so we ended up, like, trying to... We got some of those little, we got blunt wraps, except we didn't understand how to roll a blunt, so we just, like, we used a pin to poke the tobacco out, and then, like, just shoved the weed
in
the wrap.
Okay. Yeah. Smart. Yeah. That makes sense. And, you know, honestly, sometimes doing things in the most obvious places are the most, like, unknown, like, I feel like, places to be doing something. Not, like, unknown, but, like, less, like, people aren't just, like, drawn to you. Like, the places that you feel like everyone would be staring at you at, they're really not.
Exactly. Yeah. It should have been, like, a Walmart parking lot, but we were the only car, like, right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Too.
Like, it's less obvious than, like, being the only one in, like, a cul-de-sac in a neighborhood and you're, like, the only car parked, right?
You were a chameleon without knowing you were being a chameleon.
It's like smoking in, like, you know, the Target parking lot and, like, having all these cars around you, but, like, speaking from experience, ripping dabs at the Target parking lot.
She did this on Monday.
Sometimes I'll just pull over. You know, if I have my Rio on me and I'm like, okay, I'm like, I need a little pick me up before I go into Target. I'm gonna rip my dabs.
Yeah, make it an adventure at that point.
Brannon is not encouraging this.
No, I go into Target and I just, you know, fly around like a little butterfly. And it makes it all the better.
Yeah, you gotta smoke before you go in. If you're gonna go grocery shopping, if you're gonna go to the mall, anything like that. I'm like, if I smoke before, this is gonna turn into an adventure.
Yeah, I feel that. So do you remember what your high was like? Like what that night ended up being like for you?
I wish I could feel that again. Why? That's what I kind of get sad thinking about it because, like, I've never felt that way in years, you know? And so, it's just like we noticed time actually slow down, looking at the clock, being like, whoa, me and my friend, it's only been 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and like time really did like physically slow down. And that for me doesn't happen really anymore. And then getting into the building and the dorms where like the food area was before we were at the very top, the 12th floor. And so we just couldn't control ourselves. And we're like dying and like unconsolably like laughing in there. And so it's like, that doesn't happen to me anymore either. But you know, it's like the typical stereotypical, like, wow, we were so stoned.
That's a good first time experience,
you know?
So I feel like not everyone can say that.
Yeah.
So.
What building were you in?
Couch.
Oh my gosh. They had those, Was it their potato? Their potato, what's it called? Bread bowls?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, Brandon.
I got those all the time.
Okay, so every like, so at OU, there's I think it's changed now, but there was three different towers, and under every tower, there was like a really good food place.
Okay.
And Couch was the only one that had like a tower specific, like, I forget what Walker had. Everyone had something different, but like Tower was the one that had a specific like a cafe type. Yeah. So they were chains, but this is the only one that had like a specific cafe to this building. Mm-hmm. And their bread bowl potato soup was like, people would wait in line.
Like better than Panera's?
Times 10. Yeah. Like times 30. I don't know, but it was so good anyways.
Wow. You must have had just a gem of a cook in the kitchen.
Yeah. And then their grilled cheeses were unreal too. I remember that. Their grilled cheeses were fire.
Wow. That's so cool to remember that. I mean, like really, to be a college student and like living in dorms, like you like really look forward to the food.
I know. I wish I would have had that experience of like smoking and then going to eat at... Even at the CAF, like they had like Chick-fil-A at the CAF.
But you didn't really smoke like that in college.
I didn't smoke at all in college. Yeah. Not until like.
I didn't either.
Not until like my sophomore, junior year. Yeah. So like even. Okay. But even then, it wasn't like regular for me to be like, oh, let me get stoned and go to the CAF. Mm. Like all my friends that consumed were in Edmond. So anytime I smoked, I would only be with my friends who smoked. Otherwise, I wouldn't.
You weren't just like doing it on your own.
No.
Yeah, I get that. That's where I was at too. Yeah. So, Emily, what's your go-to way to consume cannabis? Like, are you a joint-rolling flower girl? Like, what's your vibe?
Yeah, I've definitely been on the joints lately. Like, I was mentioning earlier, 2022 was my backwoods year. Hey. Kind of, like, bleeding into 21, probably. But but then I kind of, like, wanted to make the switch off, like, to constantly consuming tobacco. Because I was like, wait, I've never, you know, been addicted to cigarettes. Is this what this feels like?
Yeah.
So I took a pause, but now I'm on the joints. I did just recently, though, guys, you might be proud, bought, like, my first, like, personal rig.
Nice. Congrats.
I don't know if That's I did exciting. A good job picking it out.
It's okay. Your first one's just, like, you just get one to get one, and then slowly you start leveling up from, like, you go from like a basic banger to like getting a different banger.
It's true.
You know, you just like there's there you basic. But starting is like the best part, because once you start, then you really start getting into like, you know, as you start, like Brandon, for example, if you ever go to Brandon's house, like she has so many different pieces, and then you start learning from other people, and it's like, okay,
I need this. Your own.
Yeah. And then you start like slowly leveling up and then obtaining pieces that you're like, damn, this is tight.
I got home and I realized that I didn't even get the little glass ball thing that spins when you smoke.
The little pearl or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's super fun going to pick out a pearl. I remember one time I spent like $40 on two pearls, and I was like, this is fucking crazy. But they had a little butterfly on them. Yeah. Brand, what'd you do to one of them?
I know. What did I lose it in your freaking drain?
Yeah, she lost it in my drain.
Easy to lose.
Yeah, I know. Expensive. They jump out of your hand. Like, I have to be so careful with
everything
all glass.
Everything jumps out of Brandon's hand.
I know. It's like a real problem. Like, it's like, I feel like I can justify it every time, because like I'm legit like, I do not know what just happened. Like, Saba, you'll see me like throw my phone across the room, and like I'm like, how did that even flop out of my hand? Did I just throw that?
I mean, that like, shit will go flying, and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
And then I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with me either. And then if it's with glass, I'm just like, when it happens, I'm like, fuck.
Sometimes it's a lot of the times it's like freak accidents when it happens.
Yeah,
too,
it is.
It's like
it
weirdo
really,
freak accidents,
like,
and I'm like, what the
whenever
fuck?
I explain what happened and like tell her like the play-by-play,
it's like, not real.
I'll be like, I literally like lit my whatever, and then this it's like a card fell over and hit this, and then it hit my granite countertop. Like, what? I didn't even do it, but yeah.
Does it often break, or do yours?
It breaks.
Oh.
Well, it depends on the quality, let's say that, too, because I remember that little, what is it, the banger, or not the banger, the little yellow, the cap for the Noble Nectar rigs we got. Like, dropped that little yellow thing so many times, and I'm like, you are an angel, because you're the only thing that does not break, and it's probably because of the way it's made.
Yeah.
But, like, there's been, like, other bangers that have, like, broke like that, but mm-hmm. there's like one that Brooke has is like a really nice one. Like, it's like hit some stuff a few times, and like it's pretty steady, and I'm mm-hmm. like, that's why people pay
good money
for more good money for glass. But like,
maybe
it's hard
for
you should
I know.
It's definitely worth the money you for learn. The better glass. Yeah, you definitely learn.
Because I always go the cheap route.
Yeah.
Not with like everything, but like with that stuff, you know? Like I don't like Saba said you spent like $40 on two little pearls. I'm like, whoa. Yeah. But at the same time,
it was worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, but you can buy cheaper, I mean, you can but buy cheaper, not for like, quality.
I found $5 to $10 and they were fine, but like,
yeah.
And you can find them in like a little jar where they have like 20 or 30 for like $20 or something. But I just wanted the really pretty butterflies because they were so cute. Like, it, and that was a personal thing. That's the nice thing is like you can express your personality as you start upgrading in different parts of. Mm-hmm. I feel like with like concentrates and dabs, you can express a little bit more of your personality. Cause with like rigs and stuff, like you can with flower, but I just feel like it's so different with concentrates, but maybe that's just me.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, concentrate. I mean, it could be divert. I don't know. I feel like you can get lost in the strains and the consistencies.
Well, I just mean like the glass pieces.
The glass pieces. Oh, that come along
just
with
like,
it.
Yeah. Just the accessories and stuff you can add to it.
Yeah.
You know,
there's so many like different, there's just so many different kinds as well. Like all these different chambers. And it looks like, you know, when you set up like a home for your hamster.
Yeah.
And you can like add all those different tubes. Like that's what it reminds me of.
That's actually quite literally what it is, giving your hamster accessories. So Emily, what are some staple products for you at the moment? And like when you go shop as a patient, what is something important to you or things that you look for when you go into a dispensary, when you look for product, when you look for flower, whatever the case may be?
Setting up a new company can be difficult and confusing, but establishing a strong foundation with appropriate and necessary documents can help protect you in the long run.
Jade Pebworth over at the Mee Law Group in Oklahoma focuses to provide you with a comprehensive approach and intelligent advice and representation focused on resolving problems rather than inflating them.
She kills it with civil litigation, cannabis law, business planning, corporate law / litigation, and family law.
She enjoys working with companies from the ground up. Whether you need her to review and draft contracts for your company, assist in licensing applications, and more, the Mee Law Group has your back.
Now, let's get back to today's episode.
I normally go straight to, when I'm at a new dispensary, I try to go straight to the bud tender and be like, I know you're smoking, what's here?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what's up. And so I get their opinion, but I do have my tried and trues.
Yeah.
Like I really like the fact that Nature's Key does like the all natural ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever here's an ad for them. My mom's dog recently, like so tiny, it ate like 200 milligrams of it, right? So it's like in the vet in the yard, but they were like, because of the way Nature's Key made their edibles, they didn't have this key ingredient that's mostly like the only one that's like could potentially kill a dog if they're that tiny. They didn't have it, and they were going on about how like this was, you know, incredible, like her reaction to that high of a dosage and like how well she fared. And so I don't know.
Yeah.
So I just, all natural ingredients. I don't have a tangent, but, and then I also of course smoke Well-Rooted Genetics all the time. I get a cough really easily, and that one I could smoke, and I have to kind of stick with what I find because I'm like really sensitive.
Mm-hmm. I feel that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm very sensitive to that too.
Yeah, they have good quality flower too. Yeah. So that's good. So how would you say that cannabis has benefited your life, Emily? And like, was there a turning point to where like you realized like, wow, this is actually medicine to me, and I'm gonna like, you know, probably use it every day, you know, instead of it just being like I'm using it to, you know, get stoned and you know, for all, I mean, not that you can't use it for that, but you know what I mean? It's a different headspace.
Definitely. I can't say for sure that it's like healed or like cured these things, but I did have seizures.
Okay.
And I basically started heavily smoking in my early 20s. And it was about, like, in my mid-20s that I just have stopped having them, and now I haven't had any in, like, a few years now.
Wow.
And so I also quit a lot of, like, I was on antidepressant and anxiety medicine because my seizures were triggered by anxiety. So, like, that chemical will just, like, the chemical for anxiety, you know, like, when you're happy, it's serotonin.
Mm-hmm.
There's one for anxiety, I forget what it's called, but that would just like go off randomly in my brain, like for no reason. It would just shoot out extra of that shit. And so, can I curse?
Yeah, of course.
Be you, baby girl.
Yeah, of course you may.
So it would just fire off, and then my body would go like literally kind of into like a panic attack, and it would like trigger a seizure. It was so weird. But like I said, ever since I started heavily using, like, I've dropped all those things. I am not medicated in any kind of way at all.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
So I really do think it, like, it helps. And I get, you know, I have a lot of, like mental issues, and that it's just like it subsides everything. And so I am medicated most of the time for that reason, because I can tell the difference if I'm not.
Okay. So with that being said, do you consume, like, from the time you, like, wake up, like wake and bake type, like, and throughout your day and into your evening, like when you're unwinding, are you kind of like a throughout the day?
Yes. Unless, I will say, like, on certain work days where I'm like having to rush and shoot, I don't have the time, like, to, like, roll something up, so I'll just go without. But then my mind's so preoccupied with, like, shooting. Right. That's therapy in itself for me, is, like, making videos. So that's a big help, too.
Yeah, I feel like consuming cannabis, too, you're building, like, a habitat in your body, you know, to, like, to where you said, like, you don't always smoke in the morning, you know, but, like, for some reason you're good and you can still go. It's, I feel like it has to do with, like, all of the consumption you do other than that time, you know? Mm. I feel like it's benefiting you in that way, too.
Yeah, it's, like, still remnant in my body, even. Like, if I go on a trip and, like, you know, there's been times where I'll be with family, you know?
Yeah.
I was raised Southern Baptist, so when I'm with that side of the family, I, like, you know, can't smoke for, like, a week. And I'm still okay.
Do you take, like, edibles or anything with that, or do you kind of
raw dog it?
Okay, you're right. I do. Sometimes I do end up bringing edibles.
Okay.
But there have been times where I won't, because if we're flying and I was, like, paranoid about it or something.
Yeah, I know for sure. I understand
now
that.
Now I fly with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when was the last time you went without consuming cannabis for, like, a long period of time? Because I know for a lot of people it's been a long time, but I've been going through hiatuses where, like, I won't smoke flower for a month, because when I go abroad, that's not something that I can easily do there. And it's kind of nice for me to get that a break, a detox. So when was the last time? Do you remember the last time? Has it been a while?
Oh, I guess it's been a while. I wouldn't even be able to think of it.
I know. That's how I am, too.
Yeah. I mean, there was a situation that I was in where I had to get drug tested and regularly. So I feel like that was a full, couple of years that I wasn't able to, like, in the middle of, like, my 20s there, my early 20s. But that's, like, that actually wasn't hard for me. I thought it was going to be really hard, but I was able to stick to it, and it was fine.
Yeah, it's really when you really, like, are in an environment. Like, for me, when I go away, it's nice because I'm not around my environment. So, you know, like,
your normal surroundings.
Yeah, because, like, what I remember as soon as I got back last time, like, within the first day, I'd probably smoked over 12 blunts because everyone's just shoving blunts in my face. One, because they were so, like, excited that I was back. Yeah, but, like, two, it was just, like, kind of overwhelming. Like, I remember coming home from the airport, and I got home at a decent time, like, 4 in the afternoon. So it was, like, still daytime. And I remember hitting that blunt as soon as I sat in the car, and I was launched. I was like, whoa, I feel. Because, like, normally I'll take edibles, but the last 2 weeks, and I haven't done this, but the last 2 weeks I was there this last time, I, like, didn't consume at all. Like, no edibles, no nothing, because my anxiety was super high, and I just, like, needed to not. And so,
does that happen when you take edibles?
No, not really. No. But it was just, I was in a situation where I had a lot of family stuff going on. My dad was unwell, and so it was just like, with edibles, you kind of have to commit to a long term high. And before bed, when I'm just laying there and I'm, like, thinking about stuff, and my mind's deep in it, and, like, shit's kind of falling apart around you, it was just too much. And so I was just like, it's better if I don't. And for me, I knew what my body needed, because I'm very in tune with myself. So for me, it was really great. But as soon as I got back, it's like you were talking about how you remember, like, the first time you got high. Like, that's what it felt like. It felt like I was, like, high school high again. And I was like,
which is nice.
It was
feel
so
that.
Nice. I hit the blunt once or twice, and I was like, whoa, I'm good. I'm so good. So you were talking about your family. So you grew up in Oklahoma, yes?
Mm-hmm, yeah, I moved here as a young girl when my mom, she got a job working for OETA here.
Okay, cool.
Moved us over.
So is your family supportive of what you do with your cannabis media, and, like, the fact that you smoke and you're around cannabis all the time, and that's your livelihood now?
It's kind of interesting because I was worried about it, but they've actually, I'm really proud of them. Like, my grandmama, she's the hard one to crack, but she actually has come around a bit, and like, it's fun to watch their, like, mindset change, and she'll start asking me about my job. And I feel like, you know, with me, I can't help but be myself. Like, I show every expression in my face, mm-hmm. and, like, I can't, I'm like, I'll just, blah, like, word vomit. And so I can't really hide things very well anyway.
Yeah.
And so I kind of was just like, well, I'm going to still be loving towards them and, you know, show them that it's, like, you could be a good person and use this, like, be a good, like, you know, testimony to them to show them, like, it's not a bad thing.
Right.
And so I was like, so either they accepted or they, you know, shut me out. And nobody mm-hmm. shut me out. And That's they awesome. Kind of, like, learned and adapted.
Yeah.
So it's been nice.
That's cool. Do you, like, get to show them your work and, like, what are their reactions when you show them? Like, are they like, whoa, like, because you're talented and, you know, it's what you do is not easy, you know, visually, creatively. It's awesome, but it's tough. It's, you know. And it's competitive. So, like, when you get to show them, what are their faces like?
Oh, it's so sweet. They're, like, my little cheerleaders. Yeah. Anything I do, Aww. They're just, like, my, like, love oozes out of, like, my mom and grandmama's pores. Like, they're Aww, just so, like,
love so for you.
I feel like it's, like, they're talking. Sometimes I'm, like, okay, I'm a grown woman. Mm-hmm. Like, they're, like, oh, my God, sweetie.
But sometimes it feels good to still be, like, talked to like that because it makes you feel like you were that little girl once before, you know? Yeah. Like, and you're like, yeah, I am your little sweetie pie.
Yeah, it is nice. I must say I would be really sad if that did ever stop.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're really supportive and they actually find it really interesting. And, like I said, as of lately, they'll start asking me, like, different questions. My mom's gotten curious and has smoked herself. That did not go well. But she was interested, and that's what matters. Like, she got to that point. Yeah.
Right.
That's awesome. So what made you initially want to get in the cannabis industry, and, like, what was your background before?
So I was in fine dining since I was 18. Mm-hmm. I helped open Vast at the top of the Devon Tower. That was, like, my first there, and I, like, started running the private dining rooms, like, with reservationists, and then I just stayed. Like, I went to Mahogany, you know, the Flint and the bottom of Cold Court, and I mm-hmm. was doing that. Well, then COVID hit. Mm-hmm. So then I remembered this girl. I was at Good Times, and she showed up blackout drunk. And she was just like, hey, I have a trim job for you. I was like, no, I have a job of managing a restaurant. She's like, just disappeared into the night. Well, then literally the next week, my restaurant shut down. I was like, oh, this girl said she had a trim job for me.
Yeah.
And so I started trimming at this grow, and I ended up working my way up. And I started, like, you know, doing grow hand work, mm-hmm. and I did that for a while, and then started doing, like, inventory management and all that kind of stuff. But then I ended up switching companies to, and then the next company had me doing admin work for them. So I was doing cannabis admin work at that point, and they were like, hey, like, you should just run our social media page. They had no idea that I did video, like, all growing up. So they just kind of threw it in my lap, and mm-hmm. I was like, okay, so I was just played around with it. Well, one of the places they had me do a video at was Well Rooted Genetics, and I did a kind of combo video with them and Brandon after the fact. I don't even know how we got back in touch with each other again. Mm-hmm. But after the fact, he had me kind of jump on, and I was like, oh, okay, I could just be doing this. Like,
yeah.
I
yeah.
could.
So it kind of inspired you and encouraged you to be like, use your skill set. Like, you got this. You can work for it.
Yeah, I didn't pursue it, I guess. Yeah. kind of just happened. But, like,
yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, and I feel like those are the most beautiful things, like the happy accidents.
It is. And then it's like you're pulling out parts of yourself that, like, you've wanted to see blossom, but you're not sure how.
Right.
And then you're doing it, and then you're like, oh, shit. Like, I'm doing me, and this feels good, and I can actually get paid to do what I'm good at and what I actually like to do.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe it. I they say imposter syndrome.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Have I been struggling? Like, especially in the beginning, did I struggle with it? But now, you know, I've kind of gained a little more confidence in myself, and I've, like, you know, gotten more, like, clients, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's been word of mouth so far. Like, I've never, like, actively, like, reached out to anyone so far. It's like, I feel like whoever's meant for me will come to me.
That's right. Awesome.
And I don't know. I just, like, kind of sit back and just, like, wait and see, like, if someone clicks with me, cool.
Exactly.
You know, like,
that's good. That's a good mindset to have.
Yeah. Like, exactly. Yeah. What's meant for you will never miss you.
Yes. Tatted on my shoulder. Don't forget it.
So, Emily, if you could, like, have the perfect day with, like, no responsibilities, no work, and you could be anywhere doing anything, where would you be and what would you be doing?
No responsibilities, no work. I would probably be somewhere tropical.
Okay.
With all my loved ones.
Tropical. Tropicals, your vibes over mountains then?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so here's the thing. I'm from the mountains, so I have, like, a special place in my heart.
Okay.
But I think because I've not got to experience the tropical too much in my life.
Yeah.
That's why I'm thinking of it. But but now that you're saying it, that's a tough one.
No, I know what you mean. I'm definitely more of a, I don't know, I have a good balance between mountains and tropical, but I grew up like going to more beaches than I did going to the mountains. So like at this point in my life, I prefer the mountains first and then some beach here and there too. But yeah.
I do love the mountains. I do.
So Emily, do you remember the first moment when you like picked up your camera and you knew that like you wanted to be behind the lens, like capturing special moments for people?
See, I've done it since I was a little girl.
Yeah.
It was the 90s and my granddad had, I was raised by my grandparents first in Tennessee before my parents got me here. And so my granddad never didn't like, we have a weird amount of home videos. What I'm saying, my adolescence was like fully documented because he's the one that stayed home with us.
Yeah.
So he would just spend the first half of the day videotaping us and then have us sit and watch ourselves, like whatever show we put on the second half. So that was him watching us every day. And so I had this fascination for the camera because of that man. And then, he had me and my brother, we would like start making our own little movies. And then I started wanting to use the camera. And I remember being 9 years old and they had like the camcorders with like the little tapes, the little cassette ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want that for Christmas. And they got me one. And I just started making movies. Like editing was just me rewinding the tape to start the scene again. And to redo it. And I've just always been doing that.
That's
just
awesome.
That's fun. I feel like I've, now that you said that, like it's taking me back to like doing that when I was little. And I feel like growing up with sisters, like we were always creating videos or always trying to capture something on the video camera. And it was always crazy, but like it was very much something like I enjoyed doing or like recording.
Yeah.
Or like I was always the sister to like have a camera. Like I wanted a camera more than like anybody else, you know.
I remember when we would go to Brandon's house in like the fifth or sixth grade, we were super young, but we would like, you were the one that had the disposable camera. I still have those pictures somewhere, but like we would like put makeup on and get super dressed up in our like Abercrombie and Hollister or Limited 2, whatever the fuck we were wearing at the time.
Right, yeah.
And like take all these like Polaroids, do kissy faces with like crazy glossed lips and my braces.
Brace.
Never forget.
Do you guys remember that show Brace Face?
Yeah.
Yes. I could literally sing the song right now.
Me too. Prove it.
Brace Face.
My life is complicated, boyfriend. Don't want to talk about it, teenage.
What is it? I'll work it out in the end.
Brace Face.
You guys should start a band.
But, that was fun.
You, like, reached into, like, a weird place in my, like, memory. Like, I, like,
that's how my mind works. I remember, like, theme songs from, like, movies and, you know, sitcoms and shows we used to watch growing up because we don't have that anymore, and kids don't have that anymore.
No.
And so, like, I feel like we hang on to this, like, nostalgia with, like, videotapes and, like, wanting to capture, I don't know.
No.
It's just different now. So, anyways, back to Busy Media. What inspired you to, like, create, like, Busy Media? Like, where did, I know you said, you know, you like to play with a camera growing up and stuff, but I love Busy, like, the name, too. So what inspired?
If you're ever in the Oklahoma City area, check out Chill Dispensary at 22 Northeast 10th Street.
They're good people with hand-washed, single-source live rosin, flower, pre-rolls, and other solventless products.
So go show them some love and enjoy a chill experience.
Now, back to the episode.
Well, see, when I was thinking of the name, I just remember wanting something that looked really cute in all lowercase.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted it to, I knew I wanted it to be shorter. And I really like, it was like this process of just like looking at letters and just seeing what kind of phonetically sounded good. Like it really didn't, it wasn't just like, oh, busy. Like it wasn't like a serendipitous moment or anything.
Yeah.
I really like kind of like aesthetically was just looking at, is that weird?
No, it's not. As a creative and brainstorming, I feel like you just have to stare off into the abyss sometimes or like stare at something over and over. And you know, till it's like pleasing to your mind, like in your eyes aesthetically.
I feel like the name's the hardest part because it, when you pick a name, like you kind of have to stick to the name.
It's like so fun though to pick names. It's like one of my favorite things to do is like put titles on things or like come up with what that would look like.
Yeah,
it's hard. It took me a minute. Like there were different things in the running for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Well, you landed on a good one.
Yeah, busy's good.
Thank you.
So you're one of the few women, Emily, doing media for cannabis brands here in Oklahoma. What's that been like for you? And does it empower you to go out and like be your feminine self amongst like male energy and like this dominated industry with that?
You know, that is so interesting. Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Laptop. That's so interesting about this industry because, you know, I came into it so happenstance. And then I realized, like, oh, this is male dominated. Mm-hmm. And so to be in the space, I do meet mostly, I don't think I've met another, like, working with at an event or anything, female photographer. And that's something I notice, and you start to think about it.
Yeah.
And you, so it's kind of like when I meet girls like you or anyone that's, like, you know, a girl that starts to be friendly to me, I kind of, like want to, like, cling on to them a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it is empowering. And it, like, makes you realize, like, okay, there's more people, like, girls like me or, like, women like me that want to kind of take up space and make it not just, like, this one's, like, you know. Because when it's a male-dominated industry, all the marketing, all that kind of stuff, it just is leaning a certain way.
It has to be very different.
You know what I mean?
And a feminine touch on anything is, like, you know, I feel like blesses anything with a nice little feminine touch.
Of course. I don't know how to say it in a nice way, but it just gets a little not cute.
I get it. I totally understand that.
So shooting content for so many different brands and so many different types of things that you shoot, predominantly flower, but a lot of different types. What's the feeling like for you when you like walk into a flower room or get to walk into a job like every single time? What's your favorite part just about like entering the process, like all of it?
Oh my gosh, I still feel like a little kid each time. Aww. I really do. I go in and I take a moment each time. I'm like, this is my job. Like, what is going on? Like, what is I still, I'm just like, what is happening? I still just every day feel so grateful. And it is, it's, I don't take it for granted. I don't ever want to.
Yeah, that's awesome. For sure. Yeah. I feel like it's so good to like sit in those moments of like being able to like whenever you know you work for yourself in that sense and like, you know, going into flower rooms, it's like those you can appreciate so much more because you're like, you know what you were doing before and like you know where you're at now and what you did to get there. And then you're just like, I feel like it's in those moments where you're like, oh, wow, I'm so grateful to be here and grateful to not be where I was.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it is weird because like, I remember being like, oh, I remember when I was just sitting in the corner in a dark corner trying to trim like as many pounds as I could, like blistering my fingers with my homie Carter. That's how I started working with Brandon. It was Carter. He started trimming someone I trimmed with started trimming with for Brandon and he was like, hey, remember that girl?
Yeah. Word of mouth.
It's cool.
You like that video? And so the homie hooked it up.
I also feel like you like trimming and doing all that from the ground up adds a whole different perspective to like you behind the lens too. And I could be wrong about that, but I feel like it definitely does because you've already been so intimate with the plant. Because I feel like most people, I feel like most people that come in are really great, you know, like visually they've been around different types of, you know, like different avenues, whatever in regards to creativity and like photography, videography. But all they've done is smoke. They haven't like actually
worked with the plant,
integrated themselves into the plant. And so the fact that you've done that, been a grow hand, like done all of that on such an intimate level, I feel like it just adds so much more quality to like the content you're able to produce because you know the plant so well.
I think it really does help because when I'm in there, like the growers have mentioned before, like I don't have to give you any direction. You know, like what to get, you know, what's happening. Like you go in a room, like, oh, it's transplant day. Like, you know, exactly like the step-by-step process. So it's like, as I'm following them with my camera, I can almost like predict what's going to happen next. So that's why it gives the flow of the shot so easily. I'm able to like catch as much as I am and without having to make them stop what they're doing at all.
Yeah.
That's like, I think the key too is, you know, if you're a person that has to stage everything, well, then you're disrupting work and all this kind of stuff. And so I just kind of go in there and I just kind of work around them, catch these genuine moments happening in the grow and kind of from the perspective of like when I used to do it. Yeah.
I also think it's cool that you're able to capture like, I think everything, before I say this comment, I think everything about being in a grow is attractive, but like maybe the not so attractive parts, like of course the most attractive part is when buds are growing, the flower's beautiful,
you're about to
like that's the most attractive and that's where all the, you know, main photography is, but it's cool that you're able to like catch the babies in a beautiful way and the nursery in a beautiful way, the mothers in a beautiful way, like that is attractive because that's such a hard thing to do. to make that look attractive to other people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's cool. I like the way you articulated that. It's nice because sometimes I don't even know how to articulate what I'm doing. So I like the way
you just
do
it. Yeah,
I mean, yeah, I know it's nice to hear from other, like, outside of yourself. Sometimes.
Because I was watching, the video you made for Well Rooted when we were there. I watched it so many times, and it was, like, so attractive to watch every single part of it. And, like, being there, obviously it's amazing to be around, but not to everyone. That's going to be, like, seeing babies grow. It's like, okay, cool, these are little plants. But, like, being in the flower room is like, damn, this is what it is. But, you know, seeing babies is so, like, it's anticlimactic. Like, you did it in such a way where it captured so much more than just that, which was super cool. So that's what I noticed. Just wanted to pass that feedback along to
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Where do you find balance in between, like, the mix of creative work and not overdoing yourself or taking on more that you can handle?
Like, this is something I've recently had to do, is kind of make sure I'm solid in what I'm doing and mm-hmm. I'm able to produce what I'm meant to in that month before I take on anyone new. And then as soon as I take on someone new, I let them know, I'm like, hey, I'm not going to be taking anyone else on until I get established with you. That's kind of like, it's just for me to help pace myself out because that is a difficult thing. Because when you have people coming at you, you're just like, you want to say yes to everything. Mm-hmm. But also I kind of have to, you know, being a woman in the male dominated, I have a whole other factor where I'm like, I can't just work with anyone. Mm-hmm. I have to make sure, like, is a space where I know I'm going to be comfortable.
Yeah,
it's sad that I have to say that because I've been in, but you know, I've been in bad spaces. So now I have to, like, say no to some people just if I get
boundaries.
A bad vibe.
So this is a question I don't think we've ever asked this before. I know we haven't asked this before, but since you are creative, financially, sometimes it can be weird to set a price for yourself and pitch it. Brandon and I talk about this all the time because one, you are a woman, so you don't want to, like, undershoot yourself, but then it's also like, of course, you always, not use, but, like, just in general, like, we're always in the same league as men, if not a little bit higher in regards to, like, our work ethic and things we do and stuff we produce. And sometimes it can be really hard to set a price on that because it's not always viewed that way. What is your take on, for somebody that's listening who, you know, is starting their own company, starting a brand, and wanting to set a price for themselves in regards to, you know, the background, the knowledge, all that stuff. Like, what's your take on that? What's your feedback on that? Because I know that's so hard, especially if you're, like, this is your full-time thing. So
it's your livelihood. How, you're accounting on
scary.
It.
So, yeah, and it is scary. So, like, what's that look like for you?
Okay, let's pause for a minute and talk about Oklahoma's grassroots cannabis publication, Herbage Magazine.
They are in over 500 dispensaries statewide, providing cannabis education and supporting and highlighting the local communities.
For more information, visit herbagemag.com. That's herbagemag.com.
See, I'm still figuring that out because as of October, I was like been freelance for a year. Mm-hmm. And so this year has been the biggest learning curve in that department. For me, I kind of was just like, okay, I got to make sure I have a solid person. So, and you know, because if I don't have anything as proof, so I try to start out with myself really low. I probably undercut myself a lot. But, you know, if you don't have like someone to back up saying like, hey, this is what I can do, then like, you really kind of need to. You kind of need to do that at first, I think.
To build a portfolio or try to.
And then as you like grow, then that can adjust, and then, you know, because you're like have more and more backing as you grow, and then you can kind of adjust as you go. Mm-hmm. You know, and then always appreciate the people that did believe in you when you didn't have anything, and make sure that like you always remember that, and they're always going to be kind of like the grandfather person that way.
So, how do you, or I don't know if you've had to do this yet, but with clients you've had for a little bit, and now you're raising your prices because it's just, you can do that. And that's just where you're at and your skill set, your quality, livelihood, inflation. Let's talk about that. You know, how do you have those? Cause that conversation's hard to be like, hey, like my prices have raised. I know we've been working together for a year, but this is where I'm at now. Have you had to have that conversation yet? And like, how's that conversation look like, even just like with yourself? Like, cause that's, I know for me sometimes it's hard. That's a hard conversation for me to have.
It's really hard. I actually haven't had to personally. I've just kind of had the luck of, okay, as I'm getting new jobs and they just get the new quote.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know at this point, I know that I'm like still struggling to reach what I should be asking. I need to have more confidence in myself, yes. I think, because I'm really struggling in this mm-hmm. department.
I feel that. I'm the same way. So that's why I asked this question, because Brand and I have been having this conversation lately. And
it's
really
an objective thing almost.
I know. Like, I have to like take days to think about it. Mm-hmm. And then like I got to sleep on it. And then I have to like write things down to like visually see something pen mm-hmm. to paper. And then I have to talk to, you know, a few people who are close to me and like believe in what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And then I need to see what their opinion is, you know, like, and then I feel like I can like really like understand, you know, what I'm trying to figure out, mm-hmm. you know, it like really helps. But then I'm like, I don't know. I do a lot of like talking out loud to myself.
Yes,
like,
that really helps.
Literally by myself at home.
Yeah.
And even if it's like in a mirror sometimes, but it like helps me like sort through my mind and like everything mm-hmm. that's running through it and like the decisions I'm trying to figure out, you know? And then I feel like I come down to something of like worth, you know? Yeah. And then I start pulling out, mm-hmm. you know, my values and my skill sets mm-hmm. and my worth. And then I'm like, okay, you know, and then I have my time. And mm-hmm. then I feel like it helps curate a little, like, you know, like it helps you step out. I don't know.
Yeah.
And be
no,
like,
I get it. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like even just like in media specifically, and media is a very broad term because that can be used in so many different avenues. But I feel like as a media creative, as a digital creator, all of it, sometimes it can be harder to put value because everyone thinks anyone can just do it.
Right. And people don't know what it takes to do all of that. Yeah. And it's like
the hours of research, the hours of apps you try and then delete.
Or relying on technology or throwing your phone across the room because what you just did like went away.
Yeah.
Like,
So there's so much to it. And I feel like that sometimes for people who are non-creatives can be hard to understand to pay people for, because they think, oh, I can just pick up my iPhone and do that. But it's like, you probably could. Yeah, well, exactly. You probably could,
that's
but
what
it's
I'm saying.
Like,
and you're going to see the result and then you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But then still not fully understanding like that people do this because they have practiced. Mm-hmm. Like this is a practice. This is a discipline. This is a skill set. Like it doesn't just, you don't just pick something up overnight and are really, really, I mean, some people do and kudos to them. Like, I wish I was one of those people,
my brother's, you know, one of those people. It's annoying.
But it's to be able to build that over time and then to sell yourself to somebody you're selling.
It's huge to be a freelancer and a creative mm-hmm. and having to like sell yourself and what you think you're capable of versus, you know, having guaranteed money every single month that's coming from a you know, like a different type of office job or whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just so, it's such a different mindset have to have, because like you're hustling in a whole different way that like, it's
you're
like
in the
survival,
ocean constantly.
Survival of the fittest, man.
You're constantly in the fucking ocean surrounded by sharks.
I know. Constantly believing in yourself, finding your confidence, finding your, it's just like a, you know, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. There have been times where, you know, I like would, like I like hit a wall and I'm just like, I don't know if I can do this.
Oh, I feel you.
But then I'm glad I didn't.
I feel like we all kind
of, it's
go
a lot
that.
Of self-work and like you do a lot of inner work on yourself too in this whole process, because you're kind of forced to turn inward and like be creative and find pull parts of yourself out. Mm-hmm. But okay. So going to some advice for someone listening, what would you say has been like a solid piece of advice that's been beneficial to you in your own life that maybe you would like to pass on to somebody?
That's a toughie. I think I'd have to go back to, you know, just don't force anything. Mm-hmm. And like what is for you will come to you, and kind of just like sit back. And I would go off of, you have intuition for a reason, go off of that energy and just, if it feels right, then go with it. I would also say at the same time, make sure you're in places where, you know, you can meet people. So
set yourself up for opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that they, so if they meet you, they can come to you. If they're not meeting you, they can't come to you. So right. That's the trick there.
Yeah. it seems so simple, but that can be the hardest part.
Yeah.
Like putting yourself out there.
Yeah, put yourself out there.
So that's solid. Yeah. So we ask all of our guests this question, Emily, but what is a stigma that you would like to see changed surrounding cannabis?
I guess I just think, just like the ditzy stoner thing, like, you know, kind of that you could, people can be condescending.
Yeah.
So I wish that people know that you know, it doesn't make you dumb.
Yeah.
You might get a little scatterbrain here and there, but
but it's all worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. They like, you know, associate it with being dumb for some reason, some people.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I've actually come across that. That's my family. That's they have this like stigma about it. Like, oh, it makes you a ditz. I'm like, no, Mom, I've always been this way.
Yeah.
You're like, whatever.
Reminds me of your dad, Bran, when he's like, oh, Brandon, or you just smoke too much or something like that. You know how he
like
is.
Yeah.
Are you high on weed?
Yeah. I'm like, no, Dad, I'm not. I'm just being silly.
I'm like, please.
Always been silly.
Well, Emily, I think this wraps up today's episode. Thank you so much for sharing all parts of you, being here with us, sharing your energy. You've been such a joy to have on.
This was awesome. Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. And for those who want to keep up with Emily and what she's doing and hire her, you can check out her Instagram. It's at get.bizzy. It's B-I-Z-Z-I. And thanks to all of you loyal listeners for tuning into today's episode. And as always,
stay medicated.